ladies and gentlemen. Come in. Come in. Welcome. Well, it's a football ramble. It's a football ramble. Luke's here.
All right.
Yeah, finish your water. James or Jim?
Hey.
Petey.
Hello.
What's the best football kit you've ever owned?
I had a pretty decent quality Rangers McEwen's Lager.
89-90.
No, a bit later than that. From 92-93.
I had the 89-90
one. Yeah. Maybe it was. I can't really remember. It was blue with a flex sort of checked on it.
That's 89-90.
Oh, yeah,
I had the same kit.
Yeah.
I had that.
British.
Unbelievable.
Fantastic.
I never thought you'd say that.
I was wearing it till about 2001, 2002. Got a bit tight.
You're a big lad, weren't you?
I had the classic JVC Arsenal kit.
Oh, good.
The sort of bars on the sleeves.
Yeah.
The same, Norway had exactly the same kit for some reason and no other team in the world.
They did.
It was weird.
There was a stage where
John Jensen must have loved it.
Yeah, he did have to change.
Straight off the plane.
Well, he was Danish anyway, so he probably went up the chain.
I'm just talking aesthetically, he probably really enjoyed it.
He was Danish, you complete idiot.
Yeah. Peter?
Mine was...
just your bare chest.
I think it was 1995, the Shackers football...
Keeper, you had a keeper's top?
Yeah, keeper's top. I used to love it. It was really big. It was like two sizes too big for me.
It
was the Newcastle away keeper's top.
Was that the
Shaka Hislop?
It just always reminded me.
Yeah. Well, it was when they had a new round. The away logo was round.
Yeah.
And the home logo was oval.
They must have sold oval. They must have sold a lot of them. Away keepers.
Well, it was the year that JJB Sports appeared in Hartlepool. So it was a real.
Can I just say on the subject of JJB Sports, right? Is that Mike Ashley's company? Is that right?
It's Dave
Whelan.
Isn't it JD?
Of course, yeah.
Isn't JD Mike Ashley?
Yeah. When I went to Lillywhites, which is also owned by Mike Ashley,
they didn't sell
goalkeeping tops. That is their flagship store. I know you support Newcastle, Pete, and obviously I would be really worried if that person was in charge. That is your flagship store and they don't sell goalkeepers.
At my school,
what is he doing?
The only kids that bought keeper shirts at my school
decent players.
were disabled kids and like bullies.
Harsh.
Disabled kids and bullies.
Can I just actually say, I've owned a keeper's top myself.
Yeah, I've owned a keeper's top as well.
Well, all three of us have. You're on your own then.
I was the only one that
beat you up.
Clearly. I'm the only one out here, aren't I?
Yeah, exactly.
I just had the Argentina Maradona 10, so...
Is that right?
No.
Signed by Luke Moore.
I've had, as you can imagine, I've had several Pompey shirts. What else have I had?
I'm talking about the best one.
I had the textbook Juventus Del Piero one with the D+.
I preferred the Sony one myself.
Oh, yeah.
The Sky one was good as well.
Oh, that was good. Yeah, that one as well. Yeah, that was good.
I had the Lucky Moore Rangers top as well, but it was the Paul Gascoigne a little bit later on where they had the badge at the top.
Oh, yeah, I know the one.
Near the neck.
I know the one. That was good. I had a 1994 Cameroon top.
Nice.
My mate had the vest.
My mate had the recent vest.
Oh, the vest.
do you remember
the 94 one with the flag? It was effectively the yellow, red, and green of the flag.
I do remember the big yellow star
on the front.
I do remember that. Yeah, yeah.
Magnificent scenes.
The indomitable lions.
Yeah, I used to get applauded walking down.
The
streets of Cameroon.
That never happened. The streets of Surrey.
When did vests come into football? Back into football? Because you know,
well, because
they got fined, didn't they? Yeah. 6 points in their World Cup group for wearing those like all-in-one body suits, which is just absurd.
And they had lion scratch marks, weren't they, and no arms. But what they did is because when they got fined for having the no sleeves, they then brought another kit with black sleeves. So they had no sleeves.
Cunning. They had the sleeves for the World Cup because they weren't allowed to.
Yeah.
I think that's a shame.
It's stupid.
Oh, it's a bit of banter though, isn't it?
No.
It was less to grab hold of. I mean, presumably it was.
Yeah. Nothing to add. First things first, Manchester City, discuss.
No.
Too much.
We don't want to.
Yeah.
They didn't get Kaká, funnily enough.
No.
No, it's funny that.
Well, I mean, I think we can all agree that he's made the right decision.
Yeah.
Everyone outside of the blue half of Manchester can agree that he's made the right decision, you know. And you've got to give him a bit of credit, because like I say, it's not easy to turn down £500,000 a week or whatever it was. You know, that's a big decision for anyone to make, I think.
Yeah. I just think it's really funny that they never even met him. And when they went there... they were complaining afterwards, yeah, we were in this room for 7 hours, we only had some coffee, we didn't have any food or anything, the hospitality was terrible, yeah, the atmosphere was shoddy, why, and why I wouldn't like to be in that situation. You wouldn't like to be in the situation of being like one of the big cheeses at AC Milan.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
Why did
as
they
if that's
stay,
not what you're trying to make
but why did they
into.
Stay in the room for so long if nobody was there to talk to them?
Well, the reason
you sound like, well, I'm just going to stay here then. Well, you do that.
Yeah, we're going to stay here till Kaka's out.
I suppose
we're not leaving without him.
They were probably a bit worried because they thought, if we go outside, there's people might not speak English out there. So we better stay in here.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Also, I reckon they're all standing there with big posters of like Kaka, like fans. And every time someone appeared in the window, they were going, Kaka, can you sign me poster? Like that. You know what I mean? Obviously, in a Mancunian accent.
They also said that that Milan bottled it, didn't they? Which is incredible.
I don't like the cut of that Gary Cook's jib.
No.
I've got to be honest.
You might say he's the new Peter Kenyon. A lot of people.
I tell you, it's a terrible
making
jib
that comparison.
It's a woeful jib. The bottom line is right. The bottom line is, if you want to be the executive chairman of a top
you've
club,
have a
you've got to have
that.
A top jib. Yeah. I can't have it at all. You can't pipe up, pal, and you don't buy yourself to the top table of European football. Oh, yeah. Sorry, it's earned. The respect is earned. Milan have earned that.
Randy Lerner, he's got a lovely little jib, isn't he?
Oh,
he's
Randy
got a wonderful, glorious, admirable jib.
It's a terrific jib.
Weaved of gold.
It's literally a lovely little jib, Marcus. It's literally pissing cats and dogs.
It's a lovely jib. I'll tell you what, Randy Lerner is going about building a legacy.
Legacy.
If you owned a football club...
You're a rapper.
Phil Neal.
Legacy. Sort of crap hype man.
Did Luke and I not tell you about our other venture?
It's Phil Neal. Yes, boss. Yeah, legacy. Yeah. But I think that if I was owning the football club and I had loads of money to throw about, I'd much rather develop like a legacy over a certain amount of years rather than just chuck a load of money in it and try and make a quick fix. If you know anything about football, you know that it takes time to build these sort of things up. And Randy Lerner has given Martin O'Neill the space and the time and the backing to go about and trust him and build a good squad. You know?
Well, yeah, he's done exactly the right thing by getting a really decent manager in and just leaving him to it. Yeah. It really is as simple as that. Yeah. You can imagine Mark Hughes isn't going, yeah, I want Kaka. There's no way he's doing that. If he was given time to build a decent side, because he did so well at Blackburn, if he was left to it and there wasn't this ridiculous sort of rush for success, then I reckon Hughes could do a similar job. I wouldn't say he's as talented a manager as O'Neill, but he's got less experience.
One player he probably does want is Roque Santa Cruz.
Yeah. But he's been not very good this season, though, Santa Cruz.
Roque Santa Cruz has never scored more than 5 goals in a season other than last season.
Is that right? Yeah, no, he was considered the worst player in the Bundesliga when he was there.
I think he's a good player.
To be fair, Kaká's probably a better choice.
But I mean, he's been given a lot of money to go over there, bring back Kaká, and he hasn't. And you know, he's bound to sort of come out fighting. He's because at the end of the day, he had a shitload of money.
Yeah.
To get a player, and he didn't manage
money,
to do it.
With
the most amount of money ever, right?
Yeah.
And he didn't manage to get a human being into a different country. He didn't manage to get. He didn't manage to coerce him with the most amount of money that anyone in the world ever had.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a little bit defensive.
He's like the kid at school who no one really likes, but he come into school and they have a really nice new football. Anyone want to play? No. Yeah. Not really.
If that were the case, you could imagine Alex Ferguson running onto the pitch and just dragging Kaká off.
Yeah, I'll take him from you, yeah. I think Kaká will go somewhere else now. I think it'll be difficult for him to carry on.
Well, he's going to have considered it. The idea of leaving would have entered his mind.
What do you think? Robinho's going to go elsewhere because he's walked out. He's gone back home to Brazil.
He's happy there and he's got faith in Mark Hughes. But we don't know what weapon was pointed at his head when he said
that. Has he sipped a pina colada?
Exactly. Has he by the beach in Ipanema? Do you know what I mean?
I think there's more chance of Manchester City uprooting and being based in Brazil than Robinho having any sort of taken anything seriously, to be honest.
Do you think all these weird going on, with all these weird going ons, life is starting to make a lot more sense to Stephen Ireland? Just because everything's fucking ridiculous all the time.
Maybe
it's back to normal now.
Yeah, this is how things should always be. Cut, need.
Milan's dead.
You had to say it, didn't you?
That's been put in there.
He's got to be on every show, as far as I'm concerned. Spurs have been showing a bit of interest in Materazzi, apparently.
Really? I hadn't heard that. I mean, they obviously are struggling with injuries and they need to galvanise themselves and really get
Their legs out for a long... It's going to be a few months, isn't
apparently it? Apparently it's not a tear now. Apparently it's just a strain, which is a good... I think that was a massive case of Redknapp playing that down. You know, after the Pompey game, he came out and said, I've got 6 players who shouldn't have played on. Ledley's torn a hamstring, but apparently he hasn't now. Gomez is obviously injured.
Well, he said after the the cup win against Burnley, he was like, oh, well, we were all over the place. I'm sending up a real mishmash side up to Manchester United for the FA Cup.
Yeah.
It's just, I was like, well, Harry Redknapp
is making
that.
So many derogatory remarks about Tottenham. It makes you wonder if his head's right.
I think there's a chance he thinks he knows he's out of his depth and he's lost it.
I think a lot of managers are going mental around this time of year. Him, Benitez.
Yeah,
Benitez is doing a proper Keegan, isn't he?
Yeah. I think he's probably...
Maybe.
Yeah. I think that the main thing to remember about Redknapp is, right, I know I talk about Redknapp to the cows come home and it's obviously very boring, but there is a point to be made, which is the most important thing to Harry Redknapp is Harry Redknapp. We need to remember that. Yeah. And no matter what the press say and how much they love him and how many powers he's got in the press, that is patently the case. I know, I've watched enough games, I've supported a team he's managed for long enough. The second point to make is, he's probably the only manager that I know of who will so obviously, consistently and openly criticise his own players.
Yeah, it's...
Well, with Darren Bent, it was a disgrace when he said, my missus would have scored that.
More telling than that was that David Nugent scored against Tottenham. The treatment he got from Redknapp was unbelievable.
Was beautiful when Nugent scored.
He signed him and just left him to rot.
Yeah. I mean,
it was an awful miss. Let's not get away from that. You know what I mean? It was an impulse.
But he knows he's made to miss.
As we've said before on this show, Chris Akabusi has got to have a word with himself.
Yeah, exactly. I think this is my take on it from a struggle's point of view. I think Nugent... So, I didn't mean to say that. I meant to say about striker. I didn't mean it as a striker myself. I mean,
you played more in the hole just before.
Let me qualify that. What I meant to say was, I think it's more important in terms of confidence for a striker, because strikers 50-odd% at least of how well they play and how many they score, it's confidence.
Yeah,
you get in the positions all day if you're a striker, because that's what you do. The fact that you score them or you miss them is to do with confidence. Hence Nugent. Darren Brent knows he's missed that. Yeah, Darren Bent got in that position to score and he missed it. He knows it. No one has to tell him.
He doesn't need his boss to say, oh, well, my wife would have scored that.
Absolutely.
What an absolute tosser for saying that.
First thing a manager says if a goalkeeper makes an error? Oh, yeah, but the amount of times he's kept us in games
we can't blame him.
What would Redknapp say? What did Redknapp say about Gomez? He wasn't putting any punches slating Gomez, you know? Redknapp, I don't know if Redknapp even wanted Nugent. It makes you wonder.
Yeah.
I know he signed him and it was under his tenure, but I don't know if he even wanted him.
But you were telling me he used to come out with the ball boys at half-time.
Yeah.
Kick around and stuff.
Yeah. Outrageous.
He knew he'd never get a game. Yeah.
It's flat out bullying. It's disgusting.
It's complete disrespect. But, I mean, you'll know from yourself if you've read any footballer's book or anything like that, they'll say that managers, if they come in, they don't like a player, they'll just get into the reserves, get into the youth team and go
break
and rot there.
You try and break them, and
because some guys in their contract, if they ask for a transfer, it triggers something in the contract, and it's obviously within with the best interests of the club.
Yeah.
The best interests of the guys who've got the money in the club, certainly.
The only thing you can say of Nugent is that he did have a few injuries. He had hernia and a couple of strains, but... To not even give him a go.
Why they had injuries up front, Portsmouth?
Oh, of course, he never even got a look in. He needs to run on the side. If you're a striker, you need to run on the side. I actually think Nugent would play. I mean, I know Adams prefers to five across the middle at the moment, and against Tottenham, you could argue that worked. I've never seen a team play five across the middle and be that open. But I mean, this is absolutely ridiculous. Yeah, that game against Tottenham was one of the worst games for ball retention I've ever seen. And I'm including every Sunday league game I've ever been a part of as well. And, I think Nugent would work up front with Crouch, all right? He's nippy. He's a bit of a similar to Defoe, really. I mean, obviously, David Nugent is the white Eto. We all know that.
Yeah.
But he's a very similar player to Defoe, so he could do a job there. I mean, we got farmed out on the right, and he worked his socks off like he always does, and he got a goal, and it was a good pinger as well.
Yeah.
I don't think the deflection made too much difference.
Well, it looks as though they've got Pennant now, Portsmouth.
Yeah, I'll mix figures about that.
I mean, there's even talk of Pennant going to Spurs in the summer because it's just a loan deal, isn't it? Again, it's bizarre because there's Bentley and Lennon there.
If you were a manager of a club and you were trying to tempt a player and it's Jermaine Pennant and he said, okay, but I'm going to sign with you for 6 months. I'll be like, well, hang on a minute.
It's rubbish.
We'll talk about that. You know, come over. And apparently,
I suppose Adams is at a stage where he does need to salvage something from this season, though.
He's probably thinking short-term fix.
Well, he might think to himself, if we get him over 6 months, he might like it here, he might do well, he might enjoy getting first team football again. That is the case.
I don't like him as a player. I'm much more excited about Portsmouth being linked with Christian Poulsen and Javier Saviola.
And Patrick Vieira from Inter.
Yeah, there's a bit of a link there with Adams and stuff. And I think is Vieira getting a run in the side at Inter? Or?
Not so much.
No, I didn't think he was playing as much because I've got quite a lot of midfielders now, haven't they?
You can imagine Jose really taking to
me. Well, they've got Montari, haven't they? Mm. So, I mean, Montari's almost like a young Vieira. So, yeah, I'd love to see Vieira at the club because I think he's still got a bit to offer.
Of course,
yeah,
he
he'll know the Premier League.
Yeah, absolutely.
He'd organise
that midfield, and as you say, so open, it wouldn't be the case.
Well, he's
so
better
much.
Than Davis for my money, you know. So
marginally, but. Newcastle.
Hey!
Trying to hold on to Che Given.
We've got some sort of laughter track we can put.
Are they going to hold on to Che Given?
Well, I don't think it's... I think that's the least of our problems, if I'm completely honest.
Well,
we've got enough in reserve, but it's just mainly the lack of attacking.
We upped the £5 million offer from Man City. Is that a bit of a joke to you?
I'd say about £12 million would be a decent amount of money for Che Given.
Because actually, Manchester City have only got two goalkeepers on their books, yeah. Hart and Schmeichel. They've only got two.
That's right, yeah.
They need a keeper, so it's a bit of a no-brainer.
Didn't some old boy have a go at joking it over the weekend?
Yeah, there was just a clip of him talking. But he's in trouble again, can he? That's his third. He's on his third. Open FA disciplinary charge. It's literally disciplinary congestion over the last.
There's a kind of a Roy Chubby Brown feel about him. Just the way he mouths off. Yeah. It's just all
I get the impression that no player at the club cares.
No,
absolutely.
Apart
from Michael Owen,
he's such a substitute teacher. You know what I mean? He's got no authority.
He's a supply teacher. Yeah.
But he's constantly we've never had a decent defence. I've inherited this defence. Why hasn't anybody started this defence? Sort it!
Yeah. You've been there.
Can he buy players, though? Is he in a position
He started off by sort of saying he was going to take season-long loans for people, and now he's talking about £8 million, that sort of ballpark figure. And if he sells, if he sells Shea, if he sells... if you get to the Jeremy to Besiktas, I think they're interested.
Right.
I think, he might have a bit
of... Well, Zogby's on his way, isn't he?
What's his name?
Carroll.
Yeah, got in a fight, didn't they?
But one of those things that... But I think he got rid of him, didn't he? As I recall last time I saw him, he didn't have him in again. His roles.
Oh, really?
Good.
But I think, it's one of those things that will happen at Manchester United, it'll happen at Arsenal, but because it's...
Oh, no, but this is the thing. Kinnear said... And there is an element of that, isn't there? Everyone gets on top of Newcastle because it's funny. But Kinnear actually came out and said, oh, well, Carroll and Inzaghi had a bit of a dust-up, and it was one of those handbags things, right? And he put a statement out saying that there's nothing to it, don't unsettle my players. At the same time, an alleged source, in quotes, at Newcastle was saying, Charles Inzaghi and Andy Carroll are thinking about taking their grievances off-site and sorting it out once and for all. Presumably some sort of Wild West-style shootout. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Meet up. That would be class, wouldn't it?
Kinnear is taking training and all the players are behind him, like, pinging elastic bands at his head.
Kinnear said, well, I'm not going to interrupt because I want my players to have passion. What?
Yeah. That's the third fight they've had that I can think of, Newcastle. Jose Enrique in a fight recently with...
Barton was shouting at Enrique, yeah. It's just a big old...
But that's another thing that only was highlighted because it's Joey Barton and because it's Newcastle.
Yeah.
That was literally just players mouthing off on the pitch. It was nowhere near as bad as Ricardo Fuller slapping... Stoke. Nowhere near as bad. But as you say, you do see that happen all the time, but it is just because it's...
Bowyer and Dyer was a good one. Bowyer and Dyer was better because Bowyer's face was... It was literally like the most rage I've ever seen per square centimetre of face.
Remember that bloke who was punching the woman in the cup final? That horrible picture in one of the colours.
I remember that.
The rage on that man's face. There was a picture in the Carling Cup final.
Spurs fan, he was.
He was. he was like there was a bit of a ruck, and he was like about to punch a woman. Oh. And like the rage was very disgusting. But that Lee Bowie one. Do you remember when Souness he got them out, and he was like, right, I believe you boys have got something to say.
They didn't apologise to each other, though, did they? No. See, Joe Kinnear is like the substitute for him.
Absolutely. A chap who probably knows what's going on and tends not to come out with controversial things. Maradona has said that. Sergio Aguero, who we rate very highly.
Kun. Super Kun.
Yes. He reckons if a club... There's rumours of Chelsea or obviously Man City because it's a person who plays football. they're linked to him. He reckoned he would go to the Prem if he was offered.
Really? He's engaged to Maradona's daughter, isn't he, Aguero?
Yeah. Oh, is that
right? Maradona seems to love that, which is great.
Yeah, well, wouldn't you?
Well, I mean, Aguero is definitely definitely wants to leave Atletico.
Has he said that?
Yeah. It's on good authority that he's fed up with, apparently, in quotes, Atletico not matching his ambition.
Yeah, they've got a really decent side and they consistently underperform. Yeah. They're really full of names you'd know.
Yeah.
Atletico, they're really...
Well, Aguero's a magnificent player. He's a great player. And I just want to make it clear, I don't want to see him go to City.
No,
I'm not being snobby about it. I just don't want to see him at City. I don't really want to see him at Chelsea.
Yeah, it's weird that City coming along like this makes you realise that Chelsea did actually do a very good job of sort of building on what they had. I know they were a much better side, but Chelsea were very quickly competing. Mm. They didn't win the league the first season Abramovich was there, but that was the season Arsenal went unbeaten. So if the side above you didn't lose a game...
It's true, but
they probably had a better man at the helm, though.
Of course.
Ranieri is a great manager, there's no doubt about that. And there's a talk of Rubinho and Drogba swapping now.
Really?
So Rubinho drop a swap deal being mooted in the papers.
I can't see Drogba going anywhere else.
Why would Man City do that, though? I genuinely don't...
However
he feels, however Rubinho feels, I genuinely... It would be a massive slap in the
face. Rubinho
did
come out... How's this for a slap in the face? Rubinho came out into Brazilian press the day after he signed for City, telling everyone he signed for Man United.
Yeah.
That actually happened. I don't think it's not slapping people in the face is something he cares about. He just goes about it. He wants to be somewhere else. That's clear.
Rubinho's obviously a very confident chap. Do you know that story about him leaving a nightclub? He got a bouncer to leave a nightclub for him and bring him 40 condoms. What was he doing in that club? He must have been
for his party.
He was having a big water balloon fight.
But I heard another story that he was very polite in a Manchester club. He left a £500 tip for his waiter as well.
Yeah,
is that right?
Nice fella, apparently.
Do you reckon when he got the condoms, he went, "It's a family matter." It's a family matter.
I hope not.
So what were you saying about Aguero? Yeah, I'd like to see him hook up with Torres at Liverpool.
Oh yeah,
that would be good.
I don't think they could get it. I don't think they'd afford him. But
slightly Liverpool. Similar players, maybe.
Nah, Torres is out and out, isn't he?
Well, okay.
But I mean, Liverpool—they're just hanging on to the hope that Heskey's going to come.
Yeah, yeah.
But Heskey's just waiting out for his big payout. When
he said he'll only go back there if Fowler does.
Wigan deserve some credit, actually.
We
tipped them to go down at the start of the season.
They're seventh in the table.
They've made a few quid on Palacios.
Yeah, that's a shame that he's gone.
Because,
I mean, they could lose Valencia as well.
Thing Redknapp said, he went, "Oh, I don't know if he'll fit in because he likes tackling and getting stuck in."
Oh, he's such a mardy cow.
Exactly. He really is. And I'm surprised that... The reason it's come as such a surprise to loads of people about Redknapp is because the press love him so much.
Yeah.
He never gets a bad press.
He's dear old Harry, isn't he?
Yeah. They just defend the indefensible all the time. And I was going to say that... I've heard that Juventus have tabled a bid for Dirk Kuyt as well.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. So it's quite a sizeable bid as well.
Really?
So maybe he'll go and they'll get Heskey in his place. I mean, is Heskey on looking like he's going to go to Liverpool?
I think Heskey would go back, wouldn't he?
Of course he would.
It was reported a little while ago that he'd struck a deal, wasn't it, to go back at the end of the season?
Right. He's out of contract coming up. He's coming up
in the summer. Yeah. But I mean, when he's out of contract, he can sort of name his price like for his wages. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I suppose it'll be cheaper for Liverpool to wait.
And also,
you know what I mean?
Yes. Well, exactly. Do they need him now? If you don't ask for a transfer as well, you don't get a sign on fee. So it's obviously that to consider as well.
Well, that's what I was referencing earlier.
And it's going to be his last big deal, isn't it? It's going to be his last.
Yeah, of course, it will be. Yeah. Listen, Liverpool. You just feel they're going to do what they'd normally do.
Are you suggesting that leaving Cahill unmarked in the box wasn't the best thing to do?
Fucking hate Cahill.
Do you?
He's such a cunt. If there's one man in the Premiership I just hate with a passion, Tim fucking Cahill.
I like the fact that you've chewed your pen and now it's leaked all over your mouth.
It's not a leak. It's a bit of plastic.
Oh! You've been murked, Luke.
You've been murked.
Visually murked.
Murked in the face.
You've been Donny murked.
I didn't even need to say it because no one could see anyway.
An error from Luke Moore there, ladies and gentlemen.
An early
hoisted
error.
By his own petard.
So why do you hate him?
He's just an arrogant prick. He scores too many goals against Newcastle for one.
Your hate list must be massive.
He stands down the motorway giving out speeding tickets.
He's just a mouthy, pushy little shit. Yeah. I just cannot
stand
him.
Comes to the territory, mate, being Australian.
Naughty.
Naughty.
I'm a lovable scamp. I'm a lovable rogue.
If Harry Redknapp said that, he'd be fine.
Yeah.
Any old Harry.
Going back to Diego Maradona, have any of you read his autobiography?
Yes.
No.
It is amazing.
There's a
translator's note in the beginning saying there's a lot of phrases that look like they'll just be corrupted. Really sort of like haven't sort of carried over in the translation, but they're not Argentinian phrases. He just makes up his own phrases, right? If he reckons someone's missed a trick, he says, they let the tortoise get away. Like, but this is something that he just says all the time. Another one is, if someone's being hypocritical, then they should give the dog his face back. If someone's an idiot, they're a thermos head, and he calls God, for no apparent reason, the beard. He's brilliant.
Does he know you?
Pete's nodding. That's Derek here in Newcastle.
But the thing is, though, Maradona can say what the hell he wants, and everyone's like, have you. Yes, there you go.
Yeah,
absolutely. Just,
yeah, exactly. We I suppose exactly that comes with being surrounded by yes men for 30 years.
Maybe.
It's a great book, though. I'll definitely recommend it as well. It's called El Diego, isn't it? Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. We always talk about Barcelona and how good they are. This week is no different. They are ruddy magnificent.
They're on court. Their sort of points ratio to games is something like 2.6 a game, which is a record in Spain. They've got 59 goals in 29 games. They are just on fire. I think Messi and Eto'o got 21 goals each, and Thierry Henry's looking sort of back to his form and just like.
He scored a header last week.
Well, they won 5-0, didn't they, the other day?
First Depot, yeah.
I saw Thierry Henry's first headed goal in the Premiership. I was at the stadium.
Yeah?
How many? West Ham,
he hasn't got many of his head, has he?
No.
Listen, Barcelona are playing some magnificent football, and it's a credit to Guardiola. It's his first season in management.
I mean, he obviously has inherited a good team, but it can't be understood. Inherited a good side, but it was.
They didn't win La Liga last year, but
they were a bit disjointed because the side in the previous season, they should have won that league because they were good enough, but because of off the field antics and players causing a bit of disruption, I mean, they got rid of Deco.
And also, and Ronaldinho were. They were also taking Messi off the rails.
A great fact to remember about that side. Just quickly, is 13 members of that squad went through a divorce that season.
That's really? Right. I mean, that speaks for itself. Mm. But he's come in there, and the fruits of his produce, if that makes any sense at all. That's a Maradona thing, so, you know, him and I are quite similar in that respect. You know, I mean, he really...
The only respect, if I may.
You know, I mean...
Possibly the hair.
Yeah. I mean, he's opening the bottle there. Do you know what I mean?
What? He's just making them up. I think we're right to talk about Barcelona in this way, but I think we need to sort of put the brakes on a little bit until they actually win something, because, you know, there was a great Barcelona side a couple of years ago we were talking about last week, and they didn't actually win anything. They're a great team. But as a result of that, they don't really get remembered as much because they didn't win anything.
For them to not win something would be phenomenal.
Did not score a single another point, where would they be in the league?
They'd be safe from relegation. But I mean, you're talking about teams that don't win anything, you know, 95, 96 Newcastle side. Lest we forget.
2 points clear there.
Yeah, 12, I think, if I remember rightly. I think that. I just wanted to say that Barcelona are undoubtedly the best club side in Europe at the moment. You know, Manchester United are grinding out wins and winning ugly. What they got, about 8 or 9 1-0 wins.
Yeah.
Recently, isn't it been a ridiculous amount of time since Manchester United conceded the goal at Old Trafford? It's like 12 games or something. So they're obviously in good form.
They're getting a lot of shots in and they're just not converting them.
Yeah, that's weird, isn't it?
I think it's like the tide will come soon and they'll really start firing. That's one of my made up sayings. The tide will rain.
We'll start firing.
I mean,
the sand
because
will
they
be
traditionally
filtered.
Finish
no two ways about
the
it.
Season strongly and sort of get better in the second half. I think they'll click into gear. It'll be interesting to see how it goes, because I think it will be between them and Liverpool, because Chelsea are just dropping points all over the place.
But again, it's not having a what you call a recognised striker, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
A finisher, just putting everything away.
I completely agree with that. They almost play like a, you know, like a 4-6-0 formation sometimes, Manchester United. Well, they do, because they haven't got any out and out strikers. The front man they have, your Tevez's, your Rooney's.
Well, Berbatov just sort of stands out.
Your Ronaldo's. Berbatov's a little bit different. But Berbatov's actually fine in this form now.
Yeah.
Alex Ferguson was actually saying quite an interesting thing, which was, you know, Berbatov's not set a world of
about Dion Dublin's cock. He's obsessed with it.
For once, it wasn't.
I love that story.
Yeah, same. But they were saying that what he was saying, what actually happened was all these players that. That he had at the club already took ages to get used to Berbatov.
Yeah,
because they weren't on the same wavelength as him. You know, and he's obviously a special player, and we all know that. But I think also there's an element of Berbatov not being the big cheese anymore, like he was at Tottenham.
Absolutely,
swung around with his gitan. He used to stick his hair back, smoke cigarettes all the time. I don't even get away with that, man. Anyway, to be honest.
Have you seen the league table or the relegation battle?
Premier League table.
It's
five teams on 21 points.
Yeah, tighter than a duck's bottom.
Tighter than a camel's bottom in a sandstorm.
Yeah, I'm pretty
cut
sure
that out.
Well,
it's tough down there, you know. Tottenham, Blackburn, Borough, Stoke,
it's
and
tough
West
down
Brom.
There,
well, it really is. It's a top league. It's tough.
I mean, some would even call it the best league in the world.
Well, me and Jimbo were talking earlier, saying that actually, feasibly, you could argue that the bottom 13 teams could get are in danger of relegation.
Well, Wigan are in seventh, and they're only 10 points off the bottom.
That's
I mean,
mental,
a lot can happen in what's left of the season. Yeah. Teams do just fall apart.
Because you could argue,
depends who they lose, doesn't it?
If they lose players in January,
we've already lost Palacios, and Valencia could go. Both those players are massive for Wigan,
And Wigan are arguably overachieving already. You know, so
it's
funny
that we say this just having praised them, but.
Oh, you've got to be realistic, though, haven't you? Yeah. I don't think Steve Bruce is targeting Champions League. Do you know what I mean? He's probably looking over his shoulder more than he's looking ahead.
But it's a credit to the teams that have been promoted.
Absolutely.
Oh, God, yeah.
But I do think Hull are going to get dragged right back down into it now.
Yeah, Hull and Portsmouth, they've got identical goal difference almost.
It would be such a shame if Hull did, because for what a wonderful start. I'd love to see Hull stay up, and I would love to see West Brom stay up.
I like it when the promoted teams stay up, because it mixes it up.
Of course.
If they come up and go back down again, this is a bit pointless. But
West Brom have really put a decent run together recently.
Yeah, they have. Yeah.
They're scoring goals as well. Which is obviously
unbeaten in five or something now.
Something like that. Haven't they had 3-0 wins in the last two games?
They beat Borough 3-0, definitely.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Listen, it's really, really tough to call. I think Blackburn will be okay under Sam Allardyce. I think he'll keep him up.
It won't be pretty,
but he'll keep him up.
What about Spurs? I mean, it's well within the realms of possibility that Spurs and Newcastle.
Well, the injuries Spurs and Newcastle have got. Newcastle have got a lot of injuries. I don't think Blackburn have got anyone injured apart from Stephen Reid, and that's a long term thing. But yeah, Newcastle and Tottenham are in banging trouble for injuries.
I think that's why we released so much money. Do you know what I mean? They were never going to give us any money, but it just seems quite clear that they need to get amongst it.
I fear for Portsmouth as well. I don't think Man City will go down. But it's too tough to call. It really is tight.
It could be anybody.
Yeah.
I mean, Bolton you think would be safe as well. They'll grind it out. Sunderland will probably...
It's exciting.
Although I'm saying
bottom line is good.
Sunderland have slipped up lately. They're not so consistent.
There's... anyone from about 11 teams or something.
Well, what happens is Sunderland got Sabrazier as a caretaker. When he was caretaker, he was brilliant.
Yeah.
As soon as they gave him a job, he can't buy a win. It's the way it goes, isn't it? It works out like that sometimes.
It's brilliant, though. It's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah. It's too close to call, and I think we're all agreed, as Jumo says, it's brilliant.
Yeah.
Can we have a high five for the relegation battle?
Not bad, this league.
I'm miles away from you guys after high five. Bye, mate.
Ah, it's a lovely little email.
I'm reading emails now.
Okay.
Luke's put me on.
I'm happy with that.
I've stepped up to the bat.
Yeah.
I think I can do it. Well, we'll find out.
Yeah,
we'll find
we will,
out.
Yeah.
This is all we can do.
Yeah. We judge you by your results, mate.
Hello, Ramble.
All right.
Hello!
Oh, dear. Come out the cave, Peter. This chap, I've been listening to your podcast for about a month and a half now. Like what I hear. I like this guy already.
I do.
He's a Villa. He's a Villa fan, and he's a Hull University, and he's obviously having a good time at the minute. What do you think of Villa's chances? That's from Varshi.
Fourth,
James.
Yeah, I think they can get fourth.
I completely agree.
They've had some luck, but they're also a very, very decent side with depth.
We all need a bit of luck, James.
Yeah, fourth for me.
Okay, we're going fourth. They are Varsh. Fourth. Here's another one. Lads, listening to this week's podcast, last time's, your conversation about American players. We've had a bit of a reaction to the American players. Didn't people quite like that?
Yeah, we had to cut it short because we were going through loads of them and it got a little bit tedious, so we missed any ones out that you liked, and sorry about that.
Yeah, so he was saying, I've looked up my favourite player, Landon Donovan. For the US national team, he's had 105 appearances, 37 goals, and he's only 26.
That's
I'm going on Matt's
I'm sure he's accurate. You know. Yeah, I mean, he's a player who's been linked with a number of Premier League teams over the years. He's linked with Portsmouth a couple of seasons ago, linked with a couple of other teams as well. I think he was linked with Fulham, actually, when Brian McBride was there. And he's played in Germany, hasn't he? And he's played in the MLS.
Yeah, he did play
in Germany.
He does sound like an American sports star. Landon Donovan.
Yeah. He's absolutely... I mean, when I used to live in New Zealand, they get a lot more exposure to the MLS over there. And he was a massive star for them. He's a big name, yeah.
Hmm. Well, got one from Tim here. He says that he would have gone for Joe Max Moore, former Evertonian.
Oh, yeah, I remember him. He didn't really do an awful lot of Everton.
No,
he
didn't do an awful lot. But... neither did Andy Gray. No, that's not true. The cross-sport American guy we were talking about who played
football and US American football.
Yeah, as a punter. Yeah, was Tony Meola.
Yes,
with the ponytail. Yes. Thank you very much for that, Tim.
Funny name.
Was it a mulleted ponytail? It was, wasn't it?
It might as well be.
Yeah.
He says if you boys ever come to the States, you have a five-a-side challenge, won't you, in Virginia?
Oh, brilliant. We've got a five-star game next week, actually, in Victoria.
We've, I think the 39th game is already sorted in
Australia. Adelaide or something, yeah.
So,
we've got
maybe
a game.
Maybe a pre-season.
We've got a game next Thursday at the
Queen Mother Memorial
Sports Centre.
She was there all the time.
Yeah, she loved her football.
She could bench 350.
Yeah. It's in Victoria in London, so if you want any details, give us an email and we'll send you what's going on.
I'm flipping it. We've got here's one from Nuan.
Yeah, I'll say Nuan, yeah.
Sorry, forgive me if I've pronounced your name wrong there, fella. We've got... I don't usually say fella.
No.
Sorry, Cockney.
Yeah, all Harry Redknapp. He wanted to point out that David James, he says, was probably not contracted / signed by the Florida Marlins to play quarterback or kicker because they were a baseball team.
All right.
Miami Dolphins, maybe? Question marks.
So, oh, it would have been, wouldn't it? Then? Yeah, same
place, I think that was you that said that.
I don't think people come to the Ramble for facts.
Yeah. We always like to see and hear pedantry on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm only joking, obviously. It's important. We've got to get things right.
Here's one. Hi, guys. I was watching Sky Sports the other day. This is super. I was watching Sky Sports the other day when, unfortunately, they showed a close-up of Rob Earnshaw.
He looks like Predator.
Yeah.
Do you remember the Barker we were playing? Nick Van Exel?
No.
Do you not remember? Oh, he looks a bit like him, if you're listening. Anyone who knows him. Which reminded me of a conversation that I once had back in my uni days about who is the ugliest 11 of all time.
Oh, good.
All I can remember from that conversation is Kanu and Earnshaw were up front and Keoghan was centre-half.
Kanu, that's harsh. That is
Luke Chadwick.
Yeah,
That's a given.
Yeah. Chadwick was like a winger, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I said, who would you be your ugliest 11 of all time?
I've got a winger. Real Fox. His face looked like it was sort of melting.
Steve Bruce would be a manager, probably, wouldn't he?
Or a centre-half, yeah. Luke Chadwick is on the wing or attacking midfield. It's got to be Dowie up front. I'll give you Earnshaw.
Yeah.
You can't have Carney ahead of Dowie.
No, you can't.
Dowie looked like a melted boot. His face was... he's the only footballer who's got a face like a dropped pie.
Yeah.
It's got to be Dowie. Who else would go in there? Probably Roque Santa Cruz.
Yeah.
He'd definitely go in there.
Kakar.
Yeah. Fernando.
Luke Moore.
Ronaldo.
Oh, that's a shame.
Too obvious, wasn't it?
Yeah. Ronaldinho.
No!
Come on. It is munting, Marcus. Yeah.
Have you seen that ridiculously stupid advert that's got... it's for... Is it like a fax machine or something? And it says... It's got big... It's on the billboards. Ronaldinho's in it. It goes, Ronaldinho provides loads of improvement to football. These things provide loads of improvement to the office or something stupid like that.
Tenuous.
It's rubbish. Yeah.
Surely Arshavin.
Arshavin, he's a weird looking
fella. Funny looking little
fella. No, I'm not having
Dirk Kuyt.
I'm not having Arshavin in that team at all. You can't have Arshavin.
You quite fancy Arshavin, do you?
He's quite boyish, Arshavin. He's strange looking, I'll give you that.
No, he's not ugly.
Neville Southwell in goal.
I honestly think there's been a resurgence in ugly footballers. I mean, look at Rooney, look at Ronaldinho, you know what I mean? They're all massive, massive stars.
But someone from Madrid once said, Ronaldinho is too ugly to play for Real Madrid. Really, you've got your priorities right.
I hate Real Madrid.
Yeah. Was it Ramon the Wizard Calderon before he pissed off?
I think he might have even been Perez. Yeah.
I just like these ugly footballers getting to, like, they sit down and they've been sent their copy of FIFA or whatever, and they look at how they've been represented. Oh, I look like an orc again. Bellamy.
Yeah.
He's
a weird looking fella. Bellamy,
no neck.
Bellamy looks like Dirk Kuyt's or Kuyt's handsome brother.
Yeah.
Even though he's not a handsome himself, but Dirk Kuyt is an absolute abomination.
But that's why Craig Bellamy's like, you know, Mr. Billy Big Bananas.
Yeah.
But I must guarantee that if you saw them in a nightclub or if you saw them in real life, you'd be like, they'd have this aura about them. That you'd be like,
yeah, like the Elephant Man
by.
In Dirk Kuyt's
voice. No, but generally,
John Merrick.
You just forget about all that. You wouldn't sort of go, man, that guy is ugly.
Yeah,
maybe
Matt
not.
Matt Letizia?
Yes.
No, it's
his teeth.
If you're putting him in the Hall of Fame, you're putting him in this. We've got to even it up.
Diva.
I respect his left peg, but I'm not respecting his face.
Who's that guy who played for Blackburn on the wing? So he was kind of like forward on the right, and he was like an albino man. He was very white.
No, it's Stuart Ripley, dude.
Stuart Ripley.
He was just strange
because he looked like a ghost.
Just ghosting down
there. That's Jonathan Woodgate's nickname, the ghost.
Is it really?
Why?
Well, he's really, always really pale.
Ah.
Yeah.
You think
What about Anton Ferdinand? He's a strange-looking fellow as well.
Yeah, him and Rio.
We don't want to upset Rio.
No, but this is not strange-looking people. This is ugly. Out-and-out ugliness.
Well, the ghost thing is good because at one stage Leeds had Kilgallen and Woodgate at the back.
Lee Bowyer, he's
a bit
ugly.
And the killer and the ghost.
Lee Bowyer?
Is anyone aware of the irony of us talking about ugly players? Come down next Thursday and make your own minds up.
We play ugly.
Yeah, we do. Oh, they were literally emails.
James, what have you got for us?
Okay, last week you might remember that Philipp Lahm went on a German magic show and Bayern Munich were really angry because they thought he'd sort of climbed through a fan and escaped using his magic powers that they were unaware of. Also, the Allianz Arena was used in an advert for the day the Earth stood still where it blew up, and they also seemed to think that this was real. Yeah. Right? This time, Frank Ribery has nicked the team bus, driven it around a hotel complex, and just crashed into some road signs and just, curbed it. What is going on at that club?
Presumably Frank Ribery's a player who should know better, given he was scarred for life in a car crash at the age of, 3 years old. You know, put him off nicking automobiles for life.
I think the team are on board as well, from what I
read. Probably egging him on.
That's a Gascoigne. Did Gascoigne do that?
Yeah,
he did.
Wasn't that a bus rather than a team bus?
No, that was a team bus.
That was a Middlesbrough team bus, I think.
It was a Middlesbrough team bus, yeah.
I love that.
What's happened at Bayern Munich, though?
It's just I think they're testing LSD on over. Them.
Yeah.
Like the people in the Navy in the 60s.
It's nice. Just like that. You know.
Moving on from that. It's a great story about Jose. I miss Jose.
I do.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're still in
it. It was good to see him rocking up at Old Trafford last week.
Yeah. This is the headline. Jose Mourinho tells Inter players, "You are all a pile of shit."
Oh, brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Inter coach Jose Mourinho has slammed his players, describing them as a pile of feces as he begins to show his frustration with their poor showings. La Repubblica claims they heard Mourinho blast his players inside the changing rooms following the 3-1 thrashing away to Atalanta on Sunday. Obviously very reliable. Yeah, we overheard this. It's definitely true. Yeah. We've got it word for word printed here. We didn't miss a fucking word.
What I'd love about that is Mourinho would probably have to do it in loads of different languages, which he'd probably speak. So he'd be
And let's not forget, they're top of the league. They lost one game in
shit.
I mean, it's a poor performance at Atalanta, but that's the first game they've lost in ages. Yeah. And they're top.
Yeah.
And they're top of the Champions League group. Do you know what I mean? It's not that
doing
bad.
All right.
Almost. They did, yeah, the Champions League, they weren't convincing in the Champions League, though.
Wow, well, they're in there, mate. They're in the app.
So, yeah, the Italian paper claimed they've released a transcript of what was said. "You won a Scudetto in the court, the second because there was no competition, and the third was won at the last minute. You were all a pile of shit," Mourinho is quoted as saying. Paper also claims a special one was ranting and raving for quite some time afterwards as his temperature reached boiling point.
How could they hear that? Steam coming out of his ears.
I don't reckon he'd lose his temper. I reckon he'd be quite calm about it.
I don't know, the boiling point of blood.
He'd be clinically... No,
is it higher or lower than water? I don't know.
This reminds me of a technique a friend of mine used to play for Leatherhead. And there was a guy called Trevor who was in charge down there. And he said he'd get them in at half-time. And he was a crap manager. And he'd just sit him down and just be like, "You're shit. You're shit. You're even shitter." And just was his half-time team talk.
Oh, God. Well, apparently the special one got so furious, he also threw his notebook away.
Outrageous.
I reckon they're going to be all right.
You want to pick that up? Actually, sense are worth anything.
Did you see Mourinho's... someone leaked a book or a file, a PDF file of tactics that Mourinho used for Chelsea manager at Newcastle. Yeah. And it was about 40 pages long for one game.
Really?
It was absolutely everything you could think of.
How big was the font?
Well, quite small.
It was comic diagrams.
But the point was that,
Windings.
How could you expect someone like Kieran Dyer to understand that? not Kieran Dyer, sorry. Obviously, he was new. Someone like Ashley Cole or someone. Yeah. You know what I mean? They're not going to be thinking about that. It was absolutely outrageous.
Apparently, George Graham used to do that.
And, did he?
Before a Southampton game, there was one player that they'd never played against before that was a young player. And Paul Merson had seen him play in the youth team. He's like, "Paul, what do you reckon this player?" He's like, "Yeah, he's not really a natural finisher. He sort of gets about the box a bit. He looks quite tidy, but I wouldn't focus on sort of
worrying about him
score too much because I don't think he's up to it." Alan Shearer, hat-trick on his debut. George Graham blamed Paul Merson for that.
I love that. That's exactly the sort of thing Merson would do, isn't it? Yeah, that's class.
That is brilliant. Class.
But I mean, because the reason I find that interesting about Mourinho is because obviously he's never played the game really at a high level. So it just shows how cerebral he is and how much he goes in. You can't imagine Joe Kinnear doing that, for example. Do you know what I mean?
That is really commendable. I mean, I can't think of many managers that... Because Mourinho wasn't even a player, was he? Can you think of any other managers that weren't players?
Wenger.
Wenger was a player.
But not really that
I think
hard.
His side won the league. He didn't feature much.
Even Sven played like Swedish second division or something, you know.
Maria did play at semi-pro level. And then he became a translator at Barcelona, didn't he? That's how he got into it, yeah. Under Bobby Robson,
A lot of the decent managers, you know, they didn't go great guns when they were players anyway.
Benitez, for example, as well. Yeah.
It's very rare that you do see a successful manager.
I think it's good.
A good player. Beckenbauer won the World Cup, but it's not.
I think it's good that... I think it's good that for the game in general and for its reputation that real thinking managers and thinking men's players and stuff get involved and get to the very top, because it's really easy to say, oh yeah, in this country, if people don't know much about football, it's all about passion, it's all about, you know, running yourself into the ground and big headers and stuff, when it's actually not about that, you know, so it's a good thing. But I also like the fact that he rants at his players and swears at them, which is great.
Reaches boiling point.
Yeah.
With the dossiers cartoon and stuff, it's like, it's kind of like you've got information and it's more of a rounded view of a footballer's play. Sam Allardyce with his Opta stats, I think. Don't think that's particularly the way to go.
No, maybe not. The depth of detail was absolutely staggering. I've read it.
By the end of it, you think you could take on Newcastle in a football.
I'd be so worried about remembering everything. I just wouldn't know what I'm doing. You know.
He's cutting on his left. I don't know what I'm going to do. I didn't read that bit.
Yeah. Well, that's how much detail goes through against fucking Newcastle.
Lucas head on it.
Yeah. It just, you know, it had like 40 pages of just ha 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 ha. Am I joking? That's harsh.
In the league than Portsmouth, I guess.
Sorry, Pete. Are you? No, you're not.
Have we got another one, James?
When did that happen?
Got another one here. Key question hanging over Barack Obama's White House credentials has been answered. The Democrat has been revealed to be a West Ham United fan. According to reports, the US president has been a fan of the Hammers ever since a trip to England 5 years ago, watches Premier League games whenever his busy schedule allows. No quotes in this.
I
wonder where this has come from.
I don't reckon he watches the games.
No. First, there was Osama bin Laden's association with Arsenal. I'm thinking maybe this was written by a West Ham fan.
Well, Osama bin Laden actually watched Arsenal, didn't he? He actually was on the terraces when they won something. Yeah. Are they going to have like a football hooligan fight? Barack Obama against Osama bin Laden over like a FA Cup quarter final.
Just like his first sort of the first steps of the White House is like, close Guantanamo Bay, renew Fox Sports subscription.
I've got to get the West Ham going.
Irons.
God bless the citizens and God bless West Ham United.
I will be forever blowing bubbles.
Yes, we can score in injury time.
Well, along with Bin Laden, apparently the Queen is a gooner.
No, the Queen's team's West Ham. That's quite well known.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what this is.
Well, best read it out then.
It's from like
Queen's team's West Ham. My granddad always used to sell me that.
Of course he did.
Always
his granddad.
No, Queen is your hammer. It's just a song.
No, yeah. No, but it's just. Oh shit! I've been done. It's player profile time. Yes. Not going to lie to you. It's an Englishman. It's James Peter Greaves.
Jimmy Greaves.
I like Jimmy Greaves. Remember when Sven had an affair with Faria Alarm? He called her Fire Alarm or whatever her name is.
Good man. I love that's what sticks in your mind about Jimmy Greaves.
Yeah.
The most prolific English striker of our time.
Of all time. Born 20th February 1940 in East Ham in London.
Of course he was.
Yeah, absolutely. England's third highest goal scorer of all time. I mean, Michael Owen's pushing on a bit, but mind you, he's probably injured too much.
Michael Owen won't.
So I think the bronze medal is probably his.
How many goals has he got then? 40 goals or something?
Yeah, he's not far off it.
How many goals has Greaves got?
44 for England.
Oh, 44, okay.
And of course, more recently, a television pundit. But he considered one of the finest goal scorers of his generation. Here's a little one just to chuck out there as we begin. In 1960, he became the youngest ever player to score 100 league goals in English football at the age of 20.
20? So by the time he's... That's absolutely outrageous. It's outrageous.
Didn't he score on his debut for every club he ever played
for? Yeah, I think so.
I think so, yeah.
He started at Chelsea and he played 157 games. Now, you see, what I love about this, it is nice to have an Englishman who's got a record like this, because normally you talk about foreign players, but yeah, you know, we did produce one, I tell you.
Yeah.
Appearances, 157 appearances for Chelsea, 124 goals.
That's magnificent.
Hey?
That's magnificent.
Mm. He really was doing the business, obviously, there. So much so that and in 1961, Milan came in for him. And signed him. Now, that is very rare in those days.
He was still decent at Milan, wasn't he? I don't know if he fancied it, but he was still
decent. He didn't really settle. He didn't really settle. But, he had 14 appearances and scored 9 goals. You know, so for a guy who didn't settle, play very well, he still sort of banged him in, in the short time he was there. Then he came back to England.
I like to think there's a bit more of a stiff upper lip about that back in those days. Mm. Just get on with it, pal. And so he just did the business on the pitch anyway.
Yeah, I'm not really enjoying it. Just shut up, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, get
okay,
on with
well,
it.
All right, I've scored 9. Can I go now?
Yeah.
I like that. But really, his real glory days were at Spurs, where he signed for them in 61.
That was the Bill Nicholson legendary Spurs.
He signed for Spurs for £99,999 because Bill Nicholson didn't want to put pressure on him for being the first £100,000 player.
That's class,
eh?
That's class, isn't it?
It surely draws attention to it at the same time.
but still, though, people love their stats, James. That's why we're all here. he signed for Spurs in 1961. He played for them from 61 to 70, and he scored a club record of 266 goals in 379 games.
What's the European trophy they won then?
What was it
called then?
I'm glad you said that. In 1963, they were the first British team to win a European trophy, and it was the Cup Winners' Cup.
Is it first British team or first English team?
First British team. Celtic won in 67.
Right.
The European Cup.
That was the first. Beer Cup. Yeah.
So, the what cup?
That was a bigger cup.
The Beer Cup.
They're the first team to win the European Cup, weren't they?
They were indeed. But when he was playing at Spurs, probably the most consistent striker in the whole of in the history of English football. I mean, he was top goal scorer in 6 seasons.
That's never been matched. Right, okay.
That's a record. That's never been matched.
Yeah.
And he also holds this is a lovely little statistic. Greaves holds the record for the most hat tricks for England. He scored 6 hat tricks for England. Yeah,
that's 18 goals by anyone's money, straight away.
And in the 1961 British Home Championship, obviously when the home nations used to play each other, he scored 7 goals in 3 games.
Awesome.
His scoring record for England is 57 appearances, 44 goals.
That's great.
Nice.
And but is the thing I'm interested in with Greaves is the World Cup.
Well,
because he was England.
Well, hang on. Before we talk about 66, we've got to talk about a story about the 62 World Cup, which was in Chile, and a match against Brazil. A dog ran onto the pitch. How times have changed! England v Brazil in the World Cup. A dog ran onto the pitch, and all the players were trying to catch it. Greaves got down on all fours and like beckoned the dog over. And the dog eventually came over to him and pissed on him. But Garrincha thought it was so amusing, he took the dog home as a pet.
That's class.
Goats.
Don't cheapen the moment.
But he was first choice striker for England, without that kind of scoring record. And in the World Cup, in the 66 World Cup, he was, but he broke, didn't break his leg, clearly. He injured, he had a leg
against
injury
France.
Against France. That's right. And had to be replaced by Geoff Hurst.
Obviously, Geoff Hurst kept his place in the side.
Yeah.
Throughout the rest of the World Cup,
probably justified.
Obviously, absolutely. But was there it's very hazy. I only go what my older relatives told me. Greaves got allegedly like, really pissed off of it, didn't he?
Well,
he wanted to play, and even though Hurst scored a hat trick and they won the World Cup, people say that Greaves didn't take part in the celebrations. He didn't get involved in the pitch when they celebrated, and he didn't go out of the Masters.
You have to remember the World Cup was very different then. I mean, you couldn't make substitutions during a game.
Right,
When Italy played North Korea, when North Korea beat them 1-0, Italy had a man injured, so they had to play with the majority of that game of 10 men, it just seems absolutely bonkers.
It's crazy, given how physical the game was as well.
Yeah, no, totally. So it's
just
not like...
kicking
the
ball would injure you.
Headering it would kill you.
Yeah. Well, they reckon Jeff Assel died eventually from heading the ball so much.
Really?
Yeah.
But there's a
well,
famous...
Well, heading football hurts, even now.
Jeff Assel died recently, didn't he? And everyone loved him, isn't he? He was the king at West Brom. And I saw an article about it and how great he was and how loved he was. and there was a boy there, about 15 or 16, who's a bit of a tragic story. His mother, his mum had died, so his dad's wife had died. And he said that Jeff Hassell died, his son said, and his dad was crying. And he said, Dad, I can't believe you're crying, you know. You didn't even cry at Mum's funeral. He said, your mum couldn't head of the ball like the king, son.
Oh, my goodness.
Bloody hell. It's a true story.
Talking about the 66 final with Greaves, there's a very famous photograph, which when the whistle's gone, the final whistle, the whole England bench is obviously celebrating. And Greaves is there in his shirt and suit and tie, and he's just kind of not really...
It would be gutting. Yeah. It would be gutting.
He was grieving.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Good. We talked about Keane not considering, like, getting rid of his Champions League medal, didn't we, and stuff?
Well, he said that... No, it was fine. I celebrated as much as the other players, and he said all that kind of stuff at the time. But perhaps his actions speak louder than words, and he went off on holiday with his wife while the rest of the squad attended an official banquet, so he couldn't have been that...
weird.
But it was a shame for him, but... You know, I think he said he never... I think he later admitted, yeah, I was a little bit ticked off. But he said, look, I can't hold anything against Alf Ramsey. He won the cup.
Absolutely. Well, he then justifies the means, obviously. Yeah.
Exactly, you know. But what was nice was in November 2007, that Greaves, along with the other 10 reserves from the 66 World Cup, were awarded medals by FIFA.
Oh, good.
So he does have a medal. So that's...
Surely you get a medal these days just being in the squad, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so. Nowadays you do, but what I'm saying is it's different back then.
Yeah.
Very different back then, you know. But you know, he, with regards to his playing career, he also went on. He played for his beloved West Ham, and he played for Brentford Town, Chelmsford, and he finished with Barnet. But with Barnet, he was 38 years old, and from midfield he scored 25 goals and was their player of the season. Well, round about 25 goals, because it's a bit hazy.
James.
Hmm?
30,
yeah, season. Just as,
yeah, doesn't know how many games, yeah,
exactly.
Played, I suppose, yeah.
But since he retired from football, you know, he overcame his documented alcohol problems in the 70s, and he became a TV presenter, of course, along with Ian St John, Saint and Greavesy.
I love that.
Yeah,
85 to 92. Yeah,
I love that. They used to have some quality guests on there, not just football guests as well. Mm. It used to be like a general sports show, but it always used to be Ian St John saying other stuff, and Greaves just going, "Oh yes, Saint, absolutely Saint." His brain was absolutely addled, the same way Tony Adams is now. You know,
he's on brass eye as well, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. Yeah, yeah. I think they take advantage of him a little bit there. Mm. But you know that he always used to rip the piss out of Scottish players, didn't he, Chris? Just to wind up St John. St John used to really bite and go mental at him. It was awesome. Yeah.
He also worked for TVAM as a TV critic. And he did some other...
Yeah. He did, that rings a bell as well.
Yeah, he was massive during the 80s, wasn't he?
He was huge. He really was.
That moustache he had. It's a real cookie duster, that, wasn't it?
Cookie duster, I keep on thinking...
I've seen pictures of him in his heyday playing football. But I can't get away from his big balloon face.
I can't put them together. Yeah. They don't look like the same
person. It's like Jimmy Hill and Bobby Robson. When you see them playing back in the day, it's like, it's weird.
Bobby Robson looks completely different in every conceivable way as a player.
Oh, hello, Bobby Robson.
Oh, hello, Bobby Robson.
That's what he said. What was... Not only is he... He's about to be put into the Dean Windass Hall of Fame. In 2002, he was... He was an inaugural inductee of the English Hall of Fame.
Oh, my name is good. And deserves
good.
Yeah, I mean, it's up there with us, but you know. And he released his autobiography called Greavesy, 2003, which is my book of the week. So,
ladies and gentlemen,
hang on. I'll end with a quote, as I like to do. Jimmy said this.
Laugh is like a box.
I took the time. I'll end with a quote from the great man himself. I don't consciously scheme goals, nor take up predetermined positions. I don't have a thunderous shot, nor have I spent hours working out shooting angles. I just get in as close as I can and let rip. Jimmy Greaves, into the Dean Windass Hall of Fame you go, Sam.
Get in there. In you go, Sam.
Yeah. Marvellous. Absolutely marvellous.
Well done, Greavesy.
That's the end of the show, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to get in touch with us, the email address is podcast@thefootballramble.com. We've got a website, www.thefootballramble.com. We have myspace.com/footballramble and a group on the Facebook, All Bases Covered. Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye, James or Jim.
Bye.
Bye, PT.
Bye-bye.
We're all off to give the dog its face back. Ta-ta.